Ronaldo! Cecco, ma vattene! Ma dai! Dai, che non c'era il manco più il portiere! Butti la palla fuori! Ma dai! Partiene! Vedi che tiro che ha fatto! Palla alle stelle! È arrivata a Trieste il pallone!
Is it better now?
No, same. Are you on a different computer?
Better or worse?
Oh, that's crisp. That's nice. It's clear.
Okay. We'll do that one then.
Yeah. That is awesome.
That is the default microphone.
What? Interesting.
That is the default microphone.
Very interesting. All right, do we begin?
Sure, let's go.
Welcome to another episode of Roma Happens podcast. I haven't said that in a very long time. We just kind of started rolling with it. Craig joins and we're like, all right, let's talk about random bullshit. It has been 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, since the last one. We had international break. We had a bunch of news. We have very strange things to talk about. Many topics, and I'm gonna try to make it a bit more chill this time and not just yell in frustration. And I have decided to not watch Roma games. So I watched the Inter game, and I watched a replay of the Fiorentina game. You know what? I completely forgot that I even did that. I just kind of remembered that I saw some purple stuff and I was like, oh wait, I watched a replay. So what about you?
I've been doing other stuff.
Congrats on your promotion.
Way to spoil it, asshole. I have graduated from trainee to full-fledged employee on 90-day probation.
Trainee. That sounds like kind of a train, but not really. Trainee. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. So, do you like trains?
Train trainee to train employee.
Do you like trains?
I like trains. No, it's there's this thing that you would hate if I showed you. It's called ASDF movie. And there's this, it's like just a bunch of absurdist sketches. And there's one where this kid's like, I like trains. And this train just comes out of nowhere and just hits everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would send that to you and you'd be like, what the fuck is this? I hate this shit. This isn't Kevin Smith. And I'd be like, it's right. It's better than Kevin Smith.
There is not many things in the world that are better than, or not world, but like in the media that are better than Kevin Smith's original Evening with Kevin Smith in 2002. Go watch it if you can find it. Good luck. It's on the Russian social media website. yeah. So I don't know. Let's talk about this chronologically, maybe. Or should we just mention things? You know what? I was just really listening to our previous episode, and you have said some things, and I have said some things, and I thought we should kind of address our predictions. So I said the three players are refusing to do what they're asked of when referring to the, you know, the senators, and I was kind of right. Also, you're not supposed to fall apart because you fall behind one goal. or one goal behind. I was talking about Lille. Same thing happened against Inter. You said the players will go to the coach and say, this won't work, kick them out. I don't want to play like with these people or something like that, which we'll get to. In the meantime, you should just watch the video that I sent you, the trequartista at Tattica Passata on Twitter. I don't know if I pronounced it right. And then you said, fortunately, there is an international break, only to say 5 minutes later, well, we know what happens after the international breaks, Roma falls apart. So, yes, both things were true. Fortunately, we didn't have to watch Roma for 2 weeks. Unfortunately, yeah, we know what happens when Roma comes back from the international break. So, there was also some other things that were said in that episode, and I still can't figure out why you said it was a good one. I hated myself just ranting about stuff.
I like it when you rant, because then that gives me time to go do stuff like clean my room. I just walk around and do absolutely fuck all to do with the podcast. Like, I'm going to put myself on mute. I'm going to go make some coffee. I'm going to go watch episode of Severance, and you're over there. And another thing. And I'm like, yeah.
Severance.
Severance.
Ben Stiller is not going to direct season 3, and
we've already been over this.
Concerned. Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm still concerned. All right, let's not go there. So, I said that Kone doesn't want to play with these people, and that he's playing horrible and putting no effort, and that he's just angry at them. And then international break hits, and then a couple days later, Kone is rumored to be wanted by PSG in January for 60 million, which I interpreted as him going to his agent and saying, get me the fuck out of here. And his agent was like, let's contact PSG, and I'm going to put it out in the media that you want to leave. To get Roma to, you know, kind of talk to you and worry about your opinions. And then we had the people saying, hey, I'm not going to give up Kone for less than 80 million. And then we play against Inter, and we didn't really look very good. And then Pellegrini goes off, and then Kone looks amazing immediately. And then we saw the video that I just sent you. The guy who analyzed Kone in the Inter game and concluded that he was just basically refusing to play until Pellegrini went off. So, yeah, fun times. I don't know what's happening with Roma, but clearly players are not very happy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy either watching an offside trap fall apart completely. What was it, the 6 minute? It's like, have you ever heard of play to the whistle? No? Oh, you must be a Roma player. Interesting.
Oh, that's how you thought, saw that they give up? I thought Ndika was sprinting.
No, the Senators just didn't give a shit. So they, like, Mancini's not even playing for the whistle or anything like that. But I'm sick and tired of watching the same three people get brought up in conversation. Actually, you know what? I'm going to make a meme with the Harry Potter. Why is it that whenever I get called, it's always you three?
Good one. All right. Well, I don't know. Sorry.
I don't know. I've never seen Harry Potter, so I don't know how that meme actually goes.
Seriously?
Yep.
We should have a movie night. When are you going to have some time for doing dumb stuff?
Why is it when something happens, it's always you three? Just put Pellegrini, Mancini, and Chris Dante's face.
Yeah, exactly. It's perfect. Well, this time it kind of wasn't, I guess, for this goal. It was Celik and Ndika. But also there's questions about Gasperini's setup. Why is our defensive line standing? Like, Okay, there is multiple questions, and it starts with why were Indika and Celik standing at in the center circle, and also why was Mancini literally standing on the center field line, and also why was Hermoso in their half, Inter's half, and also why are you playing Celik as right wing back, and also why are you playing Wesley as left wing back? Wouldn't it just make more sense to why is Indika playing on the right? Why is Hermoso just what is happening? Why did you start Pellegrini again, and why did you start Cristante next to him? And most of all, why is Dybala playing false nine again? Just it doesn't work, bro. It doesn't work. We saw what happens against Torino, and just it doesn't work.
The only thing I find interesting about playing a false nine is whatever. Like, Roma's lost twice now, and it's only been 1-0 in both of the things. So both of our defeats is just a narrow 1-0. Sure, a defeat is a defeat, but I was expecting Inter to fully pepper, and it would have been like 5-1 or something. One of Roma's classic just brain farts where they forget what they're doing and... But it seems like those only come against like mid to low table teams like a Fiorentina or a Cremonese.
I mean, it could have been. Mkhitaryan could have scored another on that Ndika mistake on the right side when he just slipped and turned over the ball. I don't know. I don't think anybody held it against him because it's pretty much like acknowledged that Ndika is one of our just best defenders this season. Best players, not the best defenders. Maybe even our best player in general. But, like, why is he playing on the right? He's never done that. It's as if Gasperini decided to just mess with... Like, what happened to him over the course of 2 weeks? He had 2 weeks to prepare against Inter.
What happened over two international breaks? It seems like he goes on international break, comes hungover on Sangria, is like, fuck it, false nine, here we go. Because it's not happened. It's like another thing. If I had a nickel for every time he picked a false nine, I'd have two nickels, but it's odd that it's happened twice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
so every international break, he plays a false nine to injure Dybala for the rest of it, and then we have a striker for the remainder of everything up to the next international break.
You know what? It's Monday, and we played against Inter on Saturday. You're Garfield. And basically...
You call me fat? Paul
is not injured yet. I called you slow and yellow. Dybala is not injured yet. It's been 2 days. So that's a miracle.
Leon Bailiff isn't injured either.
Yeah. Leon Bailey looked fucking amazing. I sent you one.
No,
you
not Leon Bailey. Bailiff was watching Life of Boris cooking videos.
Oh, again?
You need the mayonnaise and the Bailiff.
Mayonnaise and Bailiff. We actually started watching MasterChef because that's the first show my girlfriend and I watched together. It was like COVID time, so you couldn't just go over to other people's house because you couldn't risk getting sick at work and shit. So we just watched it on watchtogether.com, W2G. Anyway, we were just like wondering. I made a meme of like, hey, Char would kind of be really good on this show. Like he knows how to cook stuff, and I don't think like he would not be not interesting. All the personalities there are just like very, very interesting people, and I just imagine Char just like making memes and making fun of other people around him, but like in a very, very subtle way. And it started off as a meme, but like the more we watched, the more we're like, you know, Char could cook this. he could definitely make these things. You should go on MasterChef. I don't know. Although it might be too late at this point. Wait, is it still going? Is MasterChef still running? Anyway, let's go to. Back to Roma. So,
not a minute. You think I'd be good on a MasterChef? I made a pureed nut spread with a grape relish reduction paired with a brioche bun, aka a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
This is exactly it. They make like something and you're like, what the fuck? I cannot repeat any of these words. What are you talking
about? It's fucking raw.
It's are you trying to kill us? It's raw. Yeah.
Gordon Gasparini. It's what are you? An idiot sandwich.
Gasparini Ramsey. Yeah. It's been renewed for 15 seasons, so maybe they'll make
seasons. 16. What is this, like the Simpsons of cooking?
No. The 15th season is running now, so maybe there should be a 16th season you can apply for, and you can win 250,000. You know what's funny? This show, every single year, they have a reward of $250,000, which back in 2010 was a lot of money. Now it's kind of like, oh, I guess I can pay one of my bank loans. Like that's not that much money anymore. All right, so Roma Inter, did you actually catch the whole game or just the extended highlights?
I caught the extended highlights package. It was 2 minutes of highlights and 5 minutes of ads.
Yeah, I mean you didn't really miss anything. Did you see the Dovbik header?
I did. That thing was it was an attempt of all things.
Yeah, a lot of people are angry about it. But from what I saw, it's kind of split. People on Reddit are just extremely angry at Dovbik, and it's weird. But then I posted a clip again, and then majority of the comments were like, yeah, there is no way that was ever going in. It's impossible. Like, he has to jump away from the ball and get his head under the ball, which is, like, already at his chin level. And he still somehow yeeted it into the parking lot. What is your neck strength, bro? What the fuck is that? And then people...
Yeah, hey, I would have scored it.
Yeah, you're shorter, and then people in Kiev are just kind of like,
No. Remember, I told you I went and played pickup in my Sule away, and yeah. That was low, a header attempt, and completely smashed my face.
I
still got it in.
Wait, didn't you like show me a bloody tooth or something?
Bloody nose.
Maybe. I don't know body parts. I like that Dovbik gets into situations that most people wouldn't. And honestly, that was the same feeling I had about Dzeko. Like, when Dzeko had his misses, people would just see the miss. But to me, it's like, do you understand how difficult it is to even get into this situation? Like, he's amazing for getting into those situations. So, that's good. I don't care if he misses 10 times a game. It means that we created 10 chances, which means that Inter are like, holy shit, we got off easy. Like, you know, this is fucking insane. We cannot let this happen. And it happens again and again and again. And then the coach is forced to make a change and react to that, to the amount of pressure, because no coach is thinking like, it's fucking Dovbik. He's just going to keep missing. No, the coach would be like, fuck, this has been 4 chances. I need to make some changes before they score. And, you know, making changes means that something is working for us that's not working for them. So, I don't know. Somebody said that I wish we would discuss about Kone missing 5 chances a game instead of missing 1 chance every 3 games. And I'm like, I wish that too. He also had a very nice turnaround and play with Ferguson. But, what do you think? Neither Ferguson nor Dovbik are starting.
I think that's an interesting chain of events going on. We have the striker that we had last year, who in that season came off of the previous season being the Golden Boot winner in La Liga. And then we have the one of the highest prospects coming on loan, and they're both not playing, which is very interesting. I'm trying to figure out. Well, concerning, maybe. I'm like, I would go more with interesting. Concerning, they both haven't really found the net. Dovbyk has, what, 2-1, and Ferguson has 0. But they've both scored in international competitions, so I don't really know what's going on. Maybe it's just how the squad lines up and how, like, the team plays. I see people... It's so interesting watching comments. People go, well, in Gasperini's system, this player is like this player. And they're like, Dovbyk or Ferguson doesn't have the characteristics of Ademola Lookman. Who gives a shit? Like,
Ademola Lookman wasn't a striker. He was more of a like second striker. Or like, he was more like a
winger. Well, we have two strikers, so which one's the second striker?
Wait, he played striker as a winger, if that makes sense. Like, he was technically a striker, but he played it as a, I'm going to sprint through your whole defense.
Yeah, which not really is a Dovbyk thing. Dovbyk doesn't really sprint. I see him more as like an Edin Dzeko type, although his hold-up play is different. But I'm waiting for them to both score. It's like, what is it? Sule is our leading scorer right now with 3. And then you have...
Yeah. It's been that way for a while now.
Yeah. I kind of felt like pissed off at him, kind of, because in the inner game, it felt like he was trying to look for one-on-ones. It's like, dude, just stop. Play team ball.
So you think the attack shouldn't die with Sule?
No, I spread the ball around too. And I think that the attack should be tried to center around our strikers rather than Sule. Or if Sule is going to attack, I think that he should try and get in better positions to score rather than go for one-on-ones. I think they should like try and find him on like a pass, like a through ball or something like that. Because what was it? The last goal he had, it was a dummy pass and it went through to him and it completely caught De Gea off guard. It's like it should be stuff more like that than him trying to find like individual one-on-one and then he gets doubled up or something. But that's just my opinion, man.
I'm okay with attacks dying with Sola. Like, if not him, who else? Do I want Dybala shooting again? Dybala was so anemic. Dear God. Like, okay, I get it. He's still Paulo Dybala. He's still the most talented player on this roster, the biggest winner on this roster. A legend. Holy shit, was he just invisible? And he had, like, one shot from the left that he should have buried that. I don't know. Like, he shot it straight at the keeper. Either go above the keeper, or go through his legs, or go to the lower corner. Like, don't shoot at the keeper's torso. It's just blah. And then he had that free kick, which was literally like 35 seconds later. Just terrible free kick. Excuse me. And I don't know. Just otherwise didn't do anything else. And then when Dovbyk came on, we kind of had chances. So, Gasperini got it wrong with the lineup. Do you agree, or do you think there was some experimenting going on?
It's the same lineup he put out against Torino.
Give or take.
More or less. So, I don't think it's experimenting. I don't know what he's trying to do with the Dybala as a false nine. I'm not super advanced into tactics. We have had people on before who are more invested in tactics. We could bring them on and they could explain it and I could go fall asleep. But I think that it's interesting that he did this. He only has done this formation after international breaks. And like that's the only thing is like, what are you doing? Are you trying to give your strikers a chance to recuperate? Because they played the international break, what are you doing? So that's like my only thought on it. I think he got the lineup wrong. If he's trying to give his players a break, okay, give him a break or whatever. But it's the false nine isn't working. They should have changed it out sooner. And I just don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm not going to try to claim I know what went on, but it wasn't working. Let's see. He had
3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to find. He had a 3-4-1-2 in against the Torino. And then it was a 3-4-2-1 with Dybala. So against the Dybala Inter ones.
The Greenian solo.
Yeah.
So basically, our next international break is on November 10-ish. I mean, it starts on after a game on November 9. So after the international break, we play against Cremonese on 23rd of November away. So we know Dybala is going to be starting in false nine against Cremonese. Luckily for us, it's just Cremonese, so maybe we will get four penalties or something. But they also have Jamie Vardy, so
Oh, come on. You think Jamie Vardy's going to turn stuff around for Cremonese?
I would love to watch that. I can't wait for that game, honestly. Wait, it's Cremonese, right? Jamie
Vardy.
Yeah, okay. Cremonese. So, I don't know. He's like 45 years old, but it's Vardy, bro. Chat should get banged. Anyway.
And I'm right, by the way, right now. I am right on two things that I've said in previous episodes. And you dismissed
me. Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. But I'm right on two things.
What?
I said Como would be in a European spot, and I said Milan is better than Roma.
I mean, I don't...
And you dismissed me. Milan. You're like, really, a team that just like swapped out all their pieces is going to be better than Roma.
They're on a, like, okay, they beat Fiorentina. I mean, so did we, but they did beat Napoli.
Yeah.
And Napoli are kind of doo-doo. And they beat Udinese, who are, if I'm not mistaken, 11th, never mind. I don't know. Milan's schedule has been kind of okay. And they got lucky, I think. I don't think their roster is very good. I think they're going to start falling off just like we are. Same goes for Atalanta. I'm kind of wary of Bologna. They're picking up pace. Anyway, you mentioned that we had people discussing tactics. I'm honestly not sure if this is even worth discussing the tactics because it sounds toxic. It sounds like he's going to start ranting about Pellegrini and Cristante. No, I think there is something else going on here. And I will get into it. I can tell you that my moods went from extremely upset and pissed off. And then I saw the lineups. I was like, I'm done watching this Roma. And then I saw the lineups and I was like, you know what? I want to watch because I know exactly what's going to happen. I want some entertainment. And then I saw comments on Chiesa of the lineup and it was peak. It was just comedy. And I was like, I'm enjoying myself. Not because, like, people are suffering and I'm like, haha, schadenfreude, bitches. It's more just, like, when you know that it's not going to be good, it's kind of tragedy going through the roof, breaking into comedy, if that makes sense. So it was just funny to me because, like, you know, I already made my peace with the fact that we're going to not look good. So some people that I've spoken to, some people that we've had on this podcast as well, some people that we haven't. I'll mention that this makes absolutely no sense, and nothing that Gasperini is doing indicates that he's actually trying to make his tactics work. And Wayne was particularly upset. Like, dude, I didn't want to ask him too many things because he's just livid. You can imagine that somebody who knows tactics is just watching this going like, what the fuck is going on? What is this shit? This is disgusting. But I don't know. I think there's two things going on. First, and I would like to hear your opinion on both, but I'll tell you both first. Number one, I think Gasperini's tactics are kind of naive and simple, and like you can understand what he's doing, and you're like, oh, look at this, until it works, and then you're like, well, they're genius. But the whole central defenders running into the opposing midfield and opposing defense to pressure, to take the ball over, to just, you know, provide, I don't know, pressure. But, like, if they steal the ball, then suddenly you have a defender who, you know, he's still a football player. He can pass the ball with, like, the whole front line. And he's, like, the extra man out of nowhere. And then he also has the wingbacks who are also bombing forward. So you just, if you manage this pressure and steal the ball, you're kind of in extreme superiority. What do you think about this? Like, is this actually the case of just, this is kind of naive and dumb, but if it works, it's genius?
I think Gasperini plays a older style of football, and we've seen this before with previous managers who play an older style and just refuse to adapt because they say, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I saw, it was like, he wants high pressure, high. He wants his wingbacks bombing forward and man marking, and which is what he wants, is a physically demanding tactic. You have to press, you have to constantly be moving, and it's interesting that he's trying that with Roma, because most of the players in that midfield that need to be moving and pressing and all that just are lethargic. Don't really move around, don't really get a lot done. It's nice to see changes on the wingbacks. This is a couple years ago, somebody brought this up, and I'm pretty sure I brought it up a couple of seasons ago on the podcast. They're like, what would you do if you could change one thing? If you were in charge of Roma. And I said, I would work on changing like one aspect of the field, a transfer window. And we saw that he brought in Wesley. He's working on getting high-paced wingbacks in to speed things up. Next, I think he'll be working on the midfield, trying to get the midfield. We kind of saw it with Niall brought in, which is interesting that he hasn't really done a whole lot. But I think there'll be more significant investment in the midfield next season or couple seasons down the road. But I don't know. I think we could figure, I think that it would be interesting to see, what the next couple pieces of the transfer window are, see if they would do stuff to bring, different players.
You want to get like more pieces now in January or just wait for summer?
Wait for summer. Like, tweak it a little bit, depending on how things are going. Maybe pick up a couple pieces in the January transfer window. I don't know. Right now, we're tied. We're in a four-way tie for second place. So depending on how the results go up until January, maybe just hold pat and see what we have. If we could sell some players, that would be great. I don't know. If that doesn't count towards our obligations, though, if we sell players in January. So I don't think that they would do that. But so far, I think Gasperini's tactics, while old school, they seem to be working. Like we said, Inter would be the first real test. To me, it was a test, but it wasn't, because there were so many players who were injured and out. Same thing for Milan. I guess we're going to be missing, they're going to be missing, I think it was Salamakers. So, and then there was another player who was going to be out.
Pulisic. Sorry, you're calling Pulisic.
Yeah, Pulisic is going to be out. So, I'd like to see how that goes down. But if we can beat the small teams this time around and manage to get even a draw against some of the larger clubs. We've already seen Juventus fall to Como, Napoli and Juventus a couple weeks ago. They played out to a draw. So, you know, just let the big teams slug it out, and if Roma can somehow get a favor, like, I know we have to get results against those teams as well, but if we can manage to put the lower table teams down, I think Roma has a good chance of finishing top four. So okay. I'm okay with what's going on. It looks like in the micro and, you know, game by game, it's like, what the heck is going on? But you look at the results that we've had so far, it's like, well, it wasn't pretty, but we got a result. And Roma lost, was it three times now?
We have no draws. We have three losses and seven wins.
Right. All or nothing.
Oh, wait. Is it seven wins or six? I actually don't know how many wins we have. Wait, I'm going to count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins. 6 wins and 3 losses. We played the Europa League twice. And another one coming up in 3 days. So there is a different theory as well that I kind of... I'm more and more convinced. Did you maybe watch the video that I sent you? The Twitter clip?
I started watching it.
Okay. Also, you're slightly cutting off if you're like too far from your PC.
Basically, I'm like face fucking the PC, so don't tell me what to do.
Oh no! He said the F word. If you see this clip, it's also on Roma's subreddit, so people listening probably seen it as well. It's about Kone not playing well. I kind of pointed this out as well, that Kone is just kind of frustrated with Pellegrini and that he's yelling at him all the time. And the atmosphere in our team is just a bunch of people who don't want to play together. There is no hugs, there is no high fives, there is no encouragement. There is just like Dovbik misses a goal and everyone's just like running away in their own directions. Nobody's looking at anyone else. We can see they're all looking at different directions. It's the exact same thing when Jose was here. Like, there's just no camaraderie as well. There's just no chemistry. There is no support for one another's. Just kind of throwing their hands up in the air and just looking exasperated. Kone did this so many times with Pellegrini in the last couple of games. So many times. And I don't know, man. I said that he doesn't want to be here in the previous game or after the previous game. And then this happens, this clip where he just basically doesn't even want to play. He doesn't care. He has looked like this the entire season. Not the entire season, maybe apart from the first 4 or 5 games. And then we played Lazio, and this has been Kone since then. That's 2, 4, 5 games now. 5 games where Kone just doesn't want to be on the pitch. And Pellegrini steps off and Kone is suddenly pushing. He has the ball. He's going forward. He's doing his thing. So my theory is that Kone doesn't really care because he's like, you know what? This is all about them. It's not about me. I'm not here to be anyone's support. I don't care and give a fuck. These people don't know how to play anyway. Like that's basically what he thinks. And then just goes... okay, my time to shine because now he's off. What that says to me is that there is a larger than 0% possibility that you can hear a child in the background. Just kidding. That Gasperini comes in and says, look, Pellegrini has to be sold in January and this all has to be about him. Like, we are trying to push to him. We're going to try to play through him. We have to show that he's still capable of playing football so that we can actually sell him, as Massara said. So Kone is like, you know, fucking whatever. Maybe Gasperini didn't say that. Maybe it's just kind of obvious to people that that's why he's starting. Because there is absolutely no reason. And I know I'm kind of saying the word absolutely a lot, but there's just no reason that Pellegrini is starting every game and he doesn't provide anything that Gasperini wants. He doesn't pressure properly. He doesn't occupy the proper spaces. He doesn't pass the ball properly. Like, he and Kone have zero chemistry together. Kone does not care. So Gasperini has to choose between benching Kone and benching Pellegrini. And I don't think he's going to bench Kone because Kone is one of our best players. So why is he not benching Pellegrini? Is it that nobody else can play on the left? Dybala can. I don't think that's a problem. Al-Sharawi can. So why is he forcing Pellegrini? I think Roma decided to sell him in January and told Gasperini, like, look, this is our plan. We have to play him. I know that you hate it. Try to create your system throughout our players. And I think the same goes for Cristante. I think Roma has basically decided to sell him as well. Because the news came out that Roma needs to gather about... Thank you, Vincent. The news came out that Roma needs to gather about 80 to 90 million for FFP before the next season, which is kind of true, kind of not true. Depends. We are way behind in money, like money that we need to gather. So there is a Vincente. Fucking sorry. There is a chance that there is a chance that Roma can postpone this decision by a year. And there is also a chance that we can't, which means that maybe Roma is forced to sell Kone, Sole, Svilar, Ndika, I don't know, in June. Which of course means that we're going to take the money and reinvest it into other players, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. It's not like we have to make 100 million and that's it. Like, just not use it. We can just reinvest it. But I think what we might try to do is try to sell as many players as possible in January. And I mean, players who are not, you know, Ndika, Sula, Svilar, Kone. I'm trying to think who else has value on this team. Celik. So I think they will try to get rid of Cristante, of Pellegrini. And yes, you said this. I know. I concede. You were right again. Another thing that you were right about. So I think that's why they have to play. They have to keep playing them to show that they are actually capable of playing. And I think they might actually sell Dybala as well to like MLS or the Saudi League. I don't know. I think basically that's the plan, to relieve the budget as much as possible before the next season and then get a bunch of players on the loan. Something like we did last season with, what was his name? Lucas Gurnaduath, if I remember correctly. Lucas Gurnaduath. I don't know. I don't speak French. So I don't think that talking about tactics with Gasperini right now is not very... there is no point in doing that, because what tactics can you play? What tactics can you implement when you know that you have to play these two? And I think that's maybe why we saw like seven of our players in wrong positions, because Gasperini was trying to adjust something. I don't know. His idea was basically to put Kone, Pellegrini and Hermoso on the same side so that they could just kind of be interchangeable with Wesley, by the way. So he was clearly trying to overload the left side so that, you know, to help Pellegrini to create something on that side, and nothing came out of it. Nothing. He put Wesley, Kone, and then Hermoso, who's like known for making those runs forward, for just taking the ball and going forward. That's what he did on Atletico. That's what he did on Roma. The first five games when he joined Roma, he was playing fucking, you know, second striker position, basically. He was attacking midfielder. So nothing came from the left side. That's amazing. Except for Wesley. Like, you know, hats off to him. He was put in left wing back position despite being a right back, something that we already saw with Florenzi, kind of. And he delivered, like, not delivered, but he played really well. He was really, 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 really good on that right side, left side. Sorry. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of curious if this is the plan, because we have to understand that we don't know everything that's going on. And I say this, as you know, hypocritically, because I'm the biggest sinner at just being like, "Duh, we suck." But at the same time, like, there has to be a reason why. What do you think?
Yeah, it's like you said, there has to be a reason why, and like we said before, it was either Masada or it was Gasparini. They said, Pellegrini, pack your bags, you're gone. And all of a sudden they're just, oh yeah, pack your bags, you're starting. Like, there has to be something. Like, how can you do a complete 180 degree turn on your comment like that? So there has to be something. Scored a goal
against Lazio. He has to stay now forever. Like, all right.
Yeah, like it's just like put him away in the attic or something in cold storage. Only bring him out against Lazio, and that's it. Other than that, go train with the Primavera. But I think it has to do with trying to boost their transfer values for them. People are talking about Dybala's contract and how they want it extended. He just hasn't provided a whole lot this season. And the other thing is he's 33, injury prone.
Oh.
Like, if you're going to have an Argentine, if I had to pick an Argentine to keep on the squad, it's Sule. So,
yeah,
he's younger, has had less problems. And, like, I like Dybala, don't get me wrong. I thank him for his service. But in a hurry to extend his contract. So,
do you think Sule and Dybala cannot coexist? Because it definitely looked like it's during the Inter game.
Yeah, they couldn't get anything started in the Inter game. Torino game, same thing, putting them together, which is hilarious because Sule said, oh yeah, me and Dybala can both play together. We've tried to do it before and it just didn't work out because one of us was injured or we weren't playing at the same time. And then playing together is just absolutely abysmal. Just one or the other. Dybala is a super sub, in my opinion, if he's going to play at all. Sule is a starter. And just right now, Dybala hasn't looked as menacing as he has looked in the past. So I'm sorry, I don't think that the two of them can play together.
I kind of would like to see Dybala playing the Pellegrini position with Sule playing on the right. I don't mind that idea, but I just don't like the three central defenders thing. It's just so pointless. We are taking away one spot on the team, and the midfield is clearly struggling. Like, you want to create superiority in the midfield? Put on another midfielder. You don't need to put your central defenders to play in the midfield. I don't know. That just kind of blah. Like, our midfield would be so much better if we had Pisili connecting the lines, if we had Niall making runs from the midfield into the front three. Like, I don't know, the front third. It just, whatever. Gasperini is the genius. He knows what he's doing, but I said that I'm done with him 100% last episode. I'm going to go back on that. I'm going to walk back on that stance. They know what they're doing, and this is a new era of Roma, and they have an idea, they have plans, they have something, and Gasperini is not a moron who goes, well, clearly this isn't working, because he's subbing off Pellegrini every single game. So they're trying to inflate his price. Like, that has to be it. So whatever, you know, maybe, I don't know. The Twitter video that they sent you analyzing Kone is the guy complaining about lack of movement, lack of passing options, that Kone is lazy and doesn't want to move around to provide a passing option for his teammates. This is exactly the first thing that I noticed about Pisili. And to this day, I think Pisili is one of the best players we have, maybe if not the best player we have. Regarding movement, regarding getting open, regarding moving the ball, regarding just like keeping the play alive and just keep moving things forward. And nobody else does this on our team. I don't think Kone does it. I think Cristante does it. Kone does when Pellegrini is off in late games. Pellegrini doesn't do this. Dybala doesn't even do this. Sola gets the ball, tries to dribble past and shoot, which you say it's not the ideal. I say whatever. I don't care. It's fine. But I don't know. Pisili is really good at this. Celik is really good at this. And Wesley is really good at this. Divine Wrench is really good at this. I don't know. We have players who are very, very good. And they're not playing a lot. I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird. And Ranieri and Gasperini said this is year one of trying to rebuild. Rebuild. However you pronounce that. So
there is, what was it? What did he say, Ranieri, last year? He said, don't get your hopes up or something like that. And here everybody is getting our hopes up.
Well, it's people like you saying, look, we're playing really well. We're in the first place, so now we're sharing the second place. And then you have people like me saying in season 2015-2016, Roma had an 11-point lead in after 10 match days, so not including Europe. So after 10 games in Serie A, Roma had 34 points, Juventus had 23 points. Juventus was struggling mightily. That was game 10. After game 19, Freddy Garcia, the coach of Roma at the time, was fired because Roma was now sitting 5 points behind Juventus. 9 fucking games it took for Roma to lose 16 points on Juventus. Napoli was first at the time, but Juventus would go on to win. So between match day 10 and match day 38, Roma went from 11 points ahead of Juventus to 11 points behind Juventus. And that includes getting Spalletti, where we finished the season on 14 wins and 3 draws in the last 17 games of the season. So basically flawless second half of the season. Like, just absurd run of 14 wins and 3 draws. And we still finished 11 points behind Juventus, despite being 11 points ahead of Juventus. So people go like, we're good, we're fine. We're unsustainable systems are unsustainable for a reason. Winning with your central defender scoring is not sustainable. Oh, I'm sorry.
And we've seen this in the last couple of seasons where our central defenders are the ones scoring the goals. Somebody 2 years ago was like, oh, I think that the attackers will get more goals. So I was like, okay, bet. How many do you think? 65. And that was the year that they had Lukaku and Dybala. And then the next year after that, I was like, thank goodness you didn't make that bet. You would have lost. Because our attacking options were just absolutely abysmal. So,
I just like how people are going, well, Dovbyk sucks and Ferguson is horrible. And it's like, they're not worse than Lukaku. He looked exactly the same. Like, we don't do anything to help them. We don't create anything. I'm sorry, you wanted to say something, I cut you off.
No, just our strikers just haven't really looked super intimidating at all in the past 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
Tammy Abraham, meh. Lukaku, meh. Dovbyk, eh. Just nobody's really brought anything. It's like, oh yeah, you know, we're absolutely hammering goals in. And at that point, is it really the striker's fault or is it the system? Are people playing too much of the same system?
We have had 11 strikers in the last 7 or 8 seasons, I forgot. Like actual strikers. So, I don't know. Can you just imagine a hypothetical situation, where we have multiple players going forward, like Leon Bailey and Sola bombing forward with Wesley and Celik and LA Naui all bombing forward. And then Dovbyk finds himself somehow an opportunity to finish. And he does, like, just a tap in, you know, just out-muscling a defender. I can see those situations happening very easily. I can see Roma scoring like 3 or 4 goals a game if you just play like that. We don't get
there. Dude, that'd be so nice. That'd be like my Roma wet dream.
But that is possible. That is what we all envisioned, and we just don't do that. We didn't get there. And it's like, well, why? Who's going to get there? Kone stays behind. Pellegrini doesn't really get in there. Like, if Pellegrini has the ball, you kind of know that it's not going anywhere. Like, he's going to shoot and miss, or he's going to shoot at the goalkeeper, or he's going to pass when he really should have just shot. Like, you know what's going to happen there. So, I don't know. We have the very, very similar problems as last year and the year before, which is kind of concerning, considering we just keep swapping players. So shout out to Flasmus on Chiesa de Dotti for pointing this out. He said that Celik is the only player who is actually playing in the Gasperini system so far. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? I don't understand half the things Flasmus says. And it's not because his like English is not his first language. It's because dude knows tactics. Like, he understands tactics. Not the only person on Chiesa, but like, he knows exactly what needs to be done. And he just has the brain for football. And in the Inter game, I completely understood what he means by that. Like, Celik, people are very upset with Celik, and I understand that because he cannot cross, he cannot pass, he cannot shoot, and, you know, he's a wing back. But it's like in Moneyball, you know? Brad Pitt just kept repeating it to everyone, like, he gets on base. Celik gets in the fucking attacking third. He keeps finding himself in just open in Inter's third, in Inter's defensive line. I'm having a burp attack. That's my stomach saying.
But the gas and Gasperini.
Yeah, my stomach is just going like, bro, it's either this or gastric or acid reflux. You choose. I'll take burps all day. Celik fucking keeps finding himself open in Inter's defense. He keeps getting into situations and he's bombing forward and then immediately runs back to cover his position. Like, I swear, if we had Rick Karsdorp, it would be ideal for Gasperini because he just sprints all game long. He just kept finding himself as well, wide open. So I think basically Gasperini is going to try to sell Celik. Just make him work a little bit. Just like get some crosses in, get some goals, get something, because he's the only one who gets it, who understands his role and what the team needs as well. Like, he's playing perfectly. It's just like his technical abilities are kind of keeping him down. And like, I cannot hold that goal against him. Like, yes, he was the one who screwed up the offside line. Who the fuck sets an offside line at fucking half pitch? What the hell is that? How do you set it at center field? I don't know. He was late by what seemed, I don't know, a centimeter, and people, that's about 40% of an inch for our American listeners. People are saying that there was a very clear offside because if you stop the replay on a frame just before Barella kicks the ball, to what was the guy who scored, Bonnie? If you stop just before that frame, there is very clear evidence that Bonnie is already offside. So, like, how is a frame later he's not offside? So, I don't know. Something very, very, very strange happened there and very weird. VAR is just kind of whatever. So, I don't know. Some people are trying to, are clearly starting to pick up. I think Wesley is one of them as well. Wesley gets exactly what Gasperini wants. And then some people are just kind of very confused. So we'll see. We'll see. I think there's also a possibility that Gasperini knows Pisili is ready for his football, and it's just like, look, we'll sell these guys, we'll try to flog them for a lot of money or as much as possible, and I won't regret it because I know what I have in house. So yeah. Give us your thoughts.
Well, we get to find out what's in store on, what is it, Thursday in the Europa League? Victoria Pilsner.
Yeah. Victoria Pilsen. Wait, when did we play them, actually? Is it Roma?
Haven't we played? I feel like we played them before.
We did. Yeah, Thursday at 9 p.m. Central. Or Central European. That's 3 p.m. for you.
Well, you, I'll probably be working.
Yeah. So I googled Roma Pisa just to see what the result was. I forgot if it was 1-0 or 2-0. We beat Pisa 1-0 away. Yeah. However, Google found me some other stuff. So, for example, is Pisa in Roma? Is Pisa Tower in Rome? And also,
that is definitely a US question.
And also, the travel from Roma to Pisa, from Rome to Pisa, is either by bus for about $16, 4.5 hours, or by train for $18, but it's half the time, literally 2 hours, 15 minutes. I would take the train for $7 more.
That sounds like a good idea.
We should do this one day. Maybe next year. So
we'll see. They want me to take my vacation soon. They're like, hey, pick your vacation for next year. It's by November of this year. I don't even know what I want to do. Like, the only thing I really know I want to do is go to the World Cup, but our supreme leader is saying, I don't want to have it in Boston. Boston is high in crime, and Boston is one of the safest cities in the U.S.
High in crime in regards to Democrats being in charge.
Yeah, I think that's what it really is. Although I saw they have this cool staircase in Boston South Station where they have the World Cup drawing, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. But we'll see.
Can I ask, have you been downloading the game that you bought the whole time?
No, it's the weather.
Ah, you getting snow?
I wish I was getting snow.
So Roma is going to be playing against Victoria Plzeň. Oh, Jesus. We cannot fucking stop trying to end the episode. We didn't talk about Jan Žukovský. Holy fucking shit. How did we find this guy? Does nobody watch Polish League?
What is it?
You didn't watch the video that I posted everywhere of him?
I've been working,
fucking send you.
They're like, hey, like, you're qualified. Can zero time with the person that's visiting you. You get zero time to do anything. You are
I think you're just permanently disconnected now. Žukovský was amazing. Just absolutely fucking amazing. He decided that he's going to neutralize Esposito, and then he just decided that every Inter player is he decided that every Inter player is Esposito. So basically, he gets a yellow card for harsh tackle, and to a normal person, that just sounds like, what did I want to say? To a normal person, that's basically like, oh shit, he has to be very cautious now. No, he basically went, hey ref, give me a red card, I dare you, and just kept playing very, very harsh. Like, no stupid tackles anymore, but he was very, very hard on Inter players. Like, literally, they were like, I'm not going anywhere near that dude. He was just one-man defense. We didn't need anybody. Like, he was just covering all of Inter's players alone by himself, just on all three sides. I don't know. We need to see these guys start against Victoria Plzeň. Like, we 100% need to see them. I can't fucking wait. So, like, I don't know. I haven't been excited about a defender for so long, because he's the only guy we have that's just like, fuck you, I'm going to tackle you to death. You're going to break your legs trying to score. Yeah, that's all. I don't know. I can't wait to see more of him. Genuinely, genuinely exciting player. And he's like 19.
We were both wondering where Žukovský went. Now we know where he was. He was training in the darkness.
But that's the thing. If you watch his fucking replays with Legia Warsaw, that's the player we were signing. We just thought that, you know, he's going to be shy or something. No, kid doesn't care. This is, I swear, I every Polish person I've ever talked to or met, like from actual Poland, not from New York, is exactly the same. Just unfazed by the moment. He can meet Trump and just be like, hey, what's up? Like, they just don't care. They generally don't care about who you are or what you are. That's this weird Polish mentality thing of just being unfazed by everything. I don't know if it's just supreme confidence or being too stupid to understand the moment. I don't get it. I don't know. But, like, I love it. He is like, fuck you, it's Inter. I'm going to tackle the shit out of them. They're not going to score on me. And then he does exactly that. And if you go on his Instagram, it's like his pictures with his girlfriend who's still wearing braces because they're both like 17 in the picture because he took it like last week. Fuck me, dude, I feel old. But anyway, I don't know. We have a new star, bro. We have a new fucking star. Jan Žukowski. Amazing. Great find by Massara, who I wish would just sell Pellegrini already. That's it. That's all I wanted to say for the end.
We need a shout out.
You're cutting off.
We need a shout out.
We need a Showtime?
Shohei Ohtani.
I wouldn't mind having a goat play for Roma, but we already had Totti, so that's not gonna happen again. See you next week, unless you have anything else to add.
Nope, see you after the next week game.
Bye. Oh wait, what do you predict on the Milan match and the Victoria Pilsen match?
Victoria Pilsen 1, Roma 1. Milan 2, Roma 0.
Alright. I'm not gonna delete this, I'm just gonna keep it in. Bye!
Bye! My heart beat even colder, fighting for my rights and talking out, it's like guerrilla warfare. Now I plan assassinations, because the Western nation keeps us in ghettos like an urban reservation. I'll attack at red dawn, no time remaining on point. Military missionaries, how I vary. My mind is scary, preparations from crime. One time, feel me rain, so feel me rain. Black rain, black rain, Citizen Kane. Talking black rain, black rain, black rain. Peace to in the game, black rain, black rain. Through the struggles and the strain, black rain, black rain. Elements of mind, so feel the rain from behind, black rain, black rain. Peace to in the game, black rain, black rain. Through the struggles and the strain, black rain, black rain.